Hi, this is Ryan Bruce with SpiritualHealingSource.com. It's a website I help create featuring the writings of Brad Cullen, an internationally recognized author of several books about spiritual topics and particularly related to physical and emotional healing.
And Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad, are you there?
I am here.
Great. Welcome back. Nice to talk to you again.
Likewise, my friend.
Wow, am I ever excited about Secret 6. This is off the charts. This is phenomenal information.
What's phenomenal about it to you?
I don't know how, you know, you've tied a couple things together for me that make it so much easier, so much more common sense, because I didn't understand a couple things that I'd read before, and I tried them and practiced them, and it just didn't seem to get me the results that I was looking for. And your methodology here and the way you tie in these other this other information really opens up the door for me. I finally get it. I knew it was important, but I had no idea how much easier it is than the way I was going about it.
What's being triggered in me right now is, well, then let's get rid of everything that comes before and let's just go with this part.
No. They're all important. They're all important. I just maybe this one should be Secret 1.
That could be.
Yeah, because, boy, I tell you, it sure is a fabulous, strong, powerful tool. You know, I just feel that once I go through what you're revealing in Secret 6, actually getting more faith, which is what you reveal in Secret 1, is going to be so much easier.
It's just dawning on me. You know, I'm in the middle of writing that new book that you've assigned for me, and I'm kind of off onto that, and so I'm having to process and recapture what it was I wrote in Seven Secrets, and it just hit me. Yeah, wait a minute. We're talking about forgiveness, right?
Yeah, it's powerful stuff. Powerful.
Yeah, and it is. I've seen so many people. In fact, I'll get off on a story. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Anyway, it's nice to hear your excitement. Does this mean that you're not going to really be hard on me today?
No, I'm not going to be hard on you at all. As a matter of fact, I want to ask you some questions that I think that our listeners or readers might have about some of the writing that you've done here surrounding. Actually, I'm just going to ask you directly here. In the, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph, right at the end, you say, unless I have forgotten the incident, I am only kidding myself when I say I forgive. I am holding myself in bondage to judgment. Now that, to me, is a powerful statement. Holding myself in bondage to judgment, because I just get this picture of this massive book where I've written all my judgments in, and the massive book has this chain on it, which I'm wearing around my neck.
Wow.
Yeah, so I understand how I get forgiveness, but how do I release these judgments? Do you have any suggestion for releasing judgment as well? Because quite frankly, I got a pack of them. As a matter of fact, I think that our human minds are set up so that we do judge things. We have to make judgments on a constant basis. Hot, cold, good, bad, up, down, right, wrong. These sort of things constantly get in our way.
Yeah, it's almost self-preservation.
It is.
I think it's locked into it. This was the key to my learning something that I needed to learn. Lifting it up, getting a picture in your mind of lifting up the judgment or the criticism you have against a person or not the person, but the incident, the thing that that's allowed you to have anger or to harbor bitterness. You lift that up. Up over your head, you get an image in your mind of that, lift it up over your head and cast it violently down into the sea. And you just see what you're doing related to that.
Okay, so I'm challenged by that a little bit. Well, I shouldn't say I'm challenged, but I'm going to suggest to you that a lot of our readers may not have used their imaginations in that way. And when I say imagination, when you're talking about creating a picture in your mind, you're going to have to use a tool called imagination. And it's not...
Yeah, it's imaging, right.
Imaging, right? And so that's the more mature term, but the term that most people probably realize is imagining. And I'm going to create a picture in my mind. So can you help our listeners and readers? How do I create that picture in my mind?
Here's a simple exercise that will help. And it is an exercise, and you do have to practice it. Right now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm asking each listener this. What did you have for dinner last night? Can you describe it?
I sure can, because I made it.
Okay, now hang on. hang on. When I ask that from a platform of people to demonstrate that everybody really is more visual than they think they are, they'll look off to the side, and usually they'll kind of look up. And it's fun to do in a group setting. You know, you got 100 people, and they're all watching this, and you're doing this with one person. They'll look off and look up, and I'll stop them. I say, why are you looking up? Well, I'm just trying to remember. And this is a guy who's just told me he's not visual. He doesn't think in pictures. I said, okay, well, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. Bribe what you had for dinner. And he gives it in detail. You know, mashed potatoes, gravy, and goes on and on and on. And I said, okay, how'd you just do that? Well, I just remembered it. And I said, no, you're seeing it. You're describing what you're seeing.
Yeah.
And he saw it and he got it. And once you see this and you understand that you really do have an imaging gift, imagination, it'll set you free and you can start practicing it.
Another tool I've also seen used in the past, getting somebody to close their eyes and don't see that purple elephant. Whatever you do, do not see a purple elephant. And of course, you can't not see a purple elephant.
That's a good one. Yeah, sure.
So it triggers in people, oh gosh, of course I see that purple elephant. And it's very easy to trigger. So sometimes the words, mentally thinking those words, actually help you to that next phase of creating the image and the stirring up the memory. And you're just
right. Really
just piecing together different memories that you've had to create a new one. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And you just get in the habit of it. And once you're in the habit of it, I want to go back so we don't get too far afield from forgiveness.
No, me either. But I also want to give tools to the people. So let's get back. You're right. Let's get back to forgiveness. So I do.
Well, no. I want to tie the two together.
Sure, do so.
Okay, and I'm processing now with a picture in my mind. It happened with a paralegal who was standing across a car. She was looking at me over the top of the car. I was looking at her, and we had just been involved in a legal discussion in a courtroom setting. And I, on the way back to her office, she was describing her difficulties she was having with her father. And it hit me what she really needed to do. And so I sat there and I said, you know, there's a principle and that really will help you get free from a couple things. And that is, you haven't forgiven your father. Well, he's dead now and I can't forgive him. And I said, well, yeah, you can. And it's important. And I don't know why. So anyway, I got her to, right there across the top of this car, to say, Daddy, I forgive you. And I just had to go through everything that she could think of that she was still holding against him. And she was bawling her eyes out, and she got so free from this. And I think that's what's getting you excited about this particular secret, because it's true. It's a principle that it is so far-reaching. If you're holding on, you know, the people who have been abused, sexually or physically abused particularly, have difficulty letting it go. But until they do, until they just let it go,
Yeah. Well,
Jesus gave the way to do that. And that's this imaging process of lifting all that stuff up in your mind that you're holding on to and just casting it down into the sea. I don't understand it. I don't make any claims to understand. I just know that every time somebody does it, and you have to be willing to do it. If you're not willing to do it, then it isn't going to work, you know.
Yeah.
It's like somebody says, I won't believe that. Yeah, well, you don't believe it, you don't believe it. I can't force you to believe it, but it works for a lot of people. So, you know, if you want it to work for you, you better open your mind to it and believe a little bit.
Well, you know, surprisingly enough, I'm not so sure that you actually have to believe it for it to work. I think it would work. I think it would work for anybody, whether they believed it or not, whether they had any.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's a good correction. We're right back to our conversation we had in the last podcast. You know, that's intellectual. Believing is intellectual. So you don't believe, so what?
Try
it anyway.
Yeah, do it anyway. See what happens. I think you'll be surprised.
Yeah, exactly. That's good.
You know, I like how you mentioned here, not by suppression or desire, or sorry, denial, but actually by actually getting rid of memories of such incidents, you know, because I find that anytime I try and suppress it, oh my gosh, when it comes back up, it comes back way worse than the original incident.
Oh yeah, it grows.
it grows deep, strong roots, and it strangles me with them.
I know I've shared a couple times with you, kind of obliquely, but about my experiences in consulting with a mental health hospital, my psychiatrist friend, and teaching them how to deal with people who are really disturbed by spirits, and how to get involved on that level with them, and because their training has to do with denial, you know, you can't be in denial. And this stuff sounds like you're denying it. No, you're not denying it. What you're doing is you're facing it, and you're putting it away. You're getting rid of it. It's the forceful part of this original word in the original language, which is the violently getting rid of it. The forgive has two parts in the original. There's two words that forgive is translated from. One is getting rid of it violently. The other is releasing it. And it's just an amazing thing. And Jesus gives us example in this imagery of lifting it up over your head and casting it violently down the sea. And you do it long enough, and if you do it long enough, it'll go.
Yeah, and there's a key there, Brad. There's a key here that is not given by other teachers. And I'll give you an example of that. I have a book on my shelf. I think it's by a very famous guy who's got a TV show, and he's written a number of different books, and I read it, and he teaches through sound, releasing sounds, for example, om and ah, and what his teaching is that when you have that ah, if you mindfully release any bad feelings or bad incidents that have happened to you that day, that you'll be free of them. And I tried his method, and I got to tell you, it feels good in the moment, but they sure are there in the morning again. And yet,
it doesn't last.
So it's a temporary fix. And so one of the things you point out in your article that really excited me is about doing it over and over and over and over again until it's gone. And you know it's gone. It doesn't jump out back into the water and from the bottom of the sea and jump back into your mind. It stays there. It's buried under a pile of rocks at the bottom of the sea.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not to touch on a touchy subject that's raising ire among some, but it's the only way you really get rid of things spiritually.
I have to agree. The difference between this method and other methods that I've seen about getting past, you know, just time heals all wounds is, of course, the secular method of it. Oh, time heals all wounds. Don't just relax and you'll get over it and it'll go away. No, you don't have to wait that long. You can deal with it today. And you should deal with it today.
You start dealing with it today, but you continue dealing with it until.
Until it's gone.
No, that's the whole thing of Jesus' teaching is until. You continue doing it until you overcome it.
I agree. One of the next things that I would like to ask you about is your discussion in regards to the story where Jesus curses the fig tree and the fig tree dies. And in your writing here, you say, to the point of even killing poor, innocent fig trees. I mean, is the poor and innocent, is that sarcasm?
Yes.
I mean, it's a puppy dog, right? It's a fig tree.
Yes, exactly.
And let's be honest with each other, the fig tree didn't provide what it was supposed to be providing, which was figs, regardless of the season. It still didn't provide the figs. I mean,
yeah, he was ticked off. You know, nobody wants to accept that, but that's what he was. If you get that, here's a picture in your mind. If you get the picture, so here they are on a dusty road, and he sees this tree over there. He's hungry, okay, and he sees this tree. So he walks through a bunch of brambles and climbs over rocks and stuff to go where he thought there would be figs. He was ticked off, you know. He spent a few minutes doing it, probably several minutes, and nuts, you know. Nobody's ever going to eat from you again. It was fed in anger.
Really? What a concept. I mean,
yeah.
Christ angry? So, come on now.
You know, and here's the guy that's reporting this, you know, apparently one of the disciples who's recounting it, you know, and says, well, and then one of his brother disciples that he's remembering, he says, And, you know, Peter said, you know, wow, look at that tree that you cursed. Well, man, that must have been a pretty solid stated bit of anger, yeah. You know, that they witnessed. He cursed this tree, you know, and it died.
Yeah, something else I'd like to get into as well, Brad, is that this minor story you talked to me about talking to that Greek scholar. And the Greek scholar finally got around to admitting to you, yes, it is, have faith, the faith of God. And then, but you go on to say and explain that there's a reason why they wouldn't have translated it to the correct way, and that would be because if they did translate it correctly, they had a legitimate fear that King James might have given the order to cut off their heads. Oh my gosh, cut off their heads for what?
Well, there's an interesting bit of history related to that, and if I say go to a good, reliable encyclopedia and get the history of the good, in quotes, King James, and understand what the guy was doing and why, you know, he is forming this Church of England as a state church, and why is he doing it? You know, because the Roman Church won't accept him. And we don't need to get into all that here, but, you know, he wanted to change the scriptures around to fit his theology.
Right.
That's really what the truth is, you know, and you get these people who are hung up on the King James translation as being the only real translation. And, well, no, it isn't. It's a paraphrase of the highest order, and it, you know, it's pretty good, and it's good. Time and all that stuff, but you know, it. Don't forget why and who was the one that authorized it. It's called the Authorized Version.
Yes,
by the good King James. There, that's a bit of sarcasm.
Well, okay, I've taken us off on a little bit of a rabbit trail, but I thought that was an interesting point that our readers actually did pay attention to, because so many times people read the words and they stick to what they read, and not realizing that it has been translated.
Right, exactly.
It has been corrected. It has been edited, so to speak. And if they really want to read the real words, then they're going to have to go to the store and pick up a Greek interlinear Bible. Simple as that.
Well, there's a better way.
Go to Dad?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's keep it with that. I got one more question before I let you go. Jesus responded 70 times 7, 490 times. Now, do you think that he's exaggerating here? I mean, does it really take 490 times to cast something violently down into the sea?
That isn't the issue. My point in bringing that up is, okay, if Jesus is telling him, okay, that's what you got to do. No, not 7 times 7. I mean, 70 times 7. You know, I mean, let's get real. Do it until it's gone. My point there is not so much of what you have to do to get rid of your own judgment, but what God's commitment is to us. If the eternal being, God, the source of all, the creator of everything, is willing to commit to forgive us over and over and over and over, and he is, or Jesus wouldn't be saying that that's what we have to do to tap into it. That's my point.
Yeah.
And how are you going to forgive it? You know, well, it gets back to you better forget it, because if you don't forget it, then you won't forgive it.
Right.
So yeah. I'm being redundant, but that's it.
That is it. And I think that that's enough. Enough said. You're right on the point, and forgiveness and releasing of judgments and anger and bitterness are definitely the key. I firmly believe, along with you, that it's the cause of all sickness and disease.
Well, we have some friends in the medical profession that will agree with that. So.
Yeah, I think there are many, many, many people realizing that the stress of holding on to judgment is far too much for the human body to take.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Duke University has done their medical school has done quite a thing with not only with parapsychology, which they're known for, but also in this whole realm of what's the word for psychosomatic illness. The biggest cause of the onset of very real diseases start with psychosomatic stuff, and it's always bitterness and anger and junk like that.
Yeah. So enough said. So science says it's so, and spirit says it's so, and now we have Brad Cullen Concurring.
Yeah. Has a little Johnny come lately? Finally got to be 80 years old, and now somebody, my publisher, Ryan Bruce, is finally recognizing the value of my repeating stuff that everybody else knows already.
Thanks, Brad. I really enjoyed our talk today. This is a fabulous secret. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Well, you've been so easy on me today, I don't know what I'll do. I think I'll go dance on my neighbor's lawn.
Naked.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks.